All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It's a conference championship weekend edition of the show. We're down to three football games left, folks, for the next, 7 months? And if you want to count the Pro Bowl flag football game, you can make it four. And guess what? I'll be lapping it up because it's the only thing football-related on that day. But we're getting down to it. And, of course, we'll know the Super Bowl matchup by Sunday night, 3 o'clock, the NFC Championship game, the 49ers against the Eagles in Philly, and then 6:30-ish after that, it'll be the Bengals at Arrowhead Stadium taking on the Chiefs. Two of those teams will be in Phoenix or Glendale 2 weeks from this Sunday, and that'll be Super Bowl whatever it is now. Was it 57, I think, this year? So We're here. Like, it's happening now. And we're going to talk about it on the show today. Of course, we're going to look at the Bucs, although not much movement in the past week on the personnel side of players, and not much movement's expected this time of year. There's been some movement in the coaching staff personnel, though, as they've conducted interviews for the offensive coordinator, and we'll talk about all those things as well. So here's what you do if you want to get a hold of the show. Of course, always love hearing and interacting and seeing you guys on Twitter. Follow me at Bobby Game Day on Twitter, BobbyGameDay, at Bobby Game Day, or tweet at me, whatever you want to do. Email, same thing, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. As always, thanks to JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, radio, what have you. Anywhere you want to get, it's all-encompassing, and it's not even just during the season, not even especially during the season, year-round, and even more so during the off-season. The content is constantly flowing, constant news updates, and we're getting into that time of year in the next few weeks after the Super Bowl comes and goes. It'll be looking at the combine, free agency, of course, building up to the draft, the schedule release, all the things that go on in the NFL offseason, but we've still got some time for that. Right now, there's football and the games this weekend. So, first of all, getting to the Bucs, because, you know, we're in this kind of limbo state right now, and Tom Brady, of course, is the big story as far as what he's going to do, and the offensive coordinator is the other big story as far as who the Bucs are going to hire. And so the order of operations here is on a little bit of a timeline. The problem is the order of operations you would think would be, let's know what Brady's going to do, and maybe if he's going to stay, he informs the offensive coordinator decision, and then we go from, you know, Brady first, then offensive coordinator. But there might not necessarily be time for that. Things are happening. And Brady needs time to decompress, and that's what, according to Rick Stroud on his Twitter feed, that's what he said. He's been told that Brady is decompressing, healing, coming off of the season, obviously, not wanting to do the same thing he did last year where he made an announcement too soon before he truly knew how he felt. And we talked about it a couple of shows ago, how if you try to make a decision on something as major as whether to play another season or not, and you do it right after the previous season, you might be clouded a little bit. You might be fatigued. You might not be thinking completely clearly. You have to get away from it for a while and let all those things come into clarity, and then you'll know. And that's fine. I mean, you know, whatever it is, it's his life. But the Bucs probably need to move on an offensive coordinator before that decision comes. So I'm sure they're in contact with him at least a little bit about this and things like that. They've only done 3 interviews. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be one of these 3 guys, but they've done 3 interviews so far. They have interviewed Keenan McCardell, who you know well from the Bucs Super Bowl winning team in 2002. By the way, stop for a moment. I'm recording this on Friday morning, but yesterday, Thursday, was January 26th, 2023, exactly 20 years from the day the Bucs won the Super Bowl over in San Diego. And I'll tell you what, I know everybody says this. Different stages of your life, you know, you get different perspectives and you start to learn things as you get older. And I know 42 is old to some people if you're in your 20s listening to this. And it's also young to some people if you're in your, you know, 60s or 70s listening to this. But I can tell you just at age 42, the biggest difference I've noticed in life, you know, from going to being a kid and then a student in school and then, you know, 20s, hanging out with your buddies, then getting, you know, meeting a girl, getting married, having kids. The biggest difference I've noticed is 2 things, okay? One is the way the year is structured when you're in school, and you think of everything when you're in school in terms of the school year. In September is when school, or August is when school starts, and Christmas break, spring, you know, summer vacation, and it kind of breaks the year up. And after you get out of that, I've noticed everything just kind of rolls into one. And you still, like, now I have my kids, so their school year, you know, I kind of go off that schedule. But like, everything I can think back of, like, you know how you can remember things from 20 years ago much more clearly than you remember things from like 20 days ago, or even like, you asked me something about the year 2017, I can't tell you a single damn thing. I mean, no idea anything that happened in 2017. All right, it was 5 or 6 years ago. I can like remember in detail the year like 1998, 1999. I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is. But like, I couldn't tell you a single thing about like any of the years in the 20 teens at all. They all just blend together. And that's the second thing that I've noticed about getting older, is that time gets so much, like in your mind, it gets so much more condensed. Like, and it makes sense. I mean, when you're 25, 20 years is almost your whole lifetime. It's a lifetime. When you're 42, it's half a lifetime. So like the Super Bowl being 20 years ago, like literally feels like it was 10 days ago. Like I can remember every detail. I remember waking up that morning. I don't think I've ever been so excited. And I guess actually this applies to the week before the NFC Championship too, when they went to Philadelphia. But those two mornings, January 19th, 2003 and January 26th, 2003, okay? I don't remember ever getting out of bed. Even my wedding day, and this is no offense to my wedding day or my wife, but even my wedding day didn't quite have the juice that January 19th and January 26th, 2003 had, because I could have run through a brick wall that morning. I still remember the newspaper. I wish I could get a copy of it. Is there a way to get a copy of it? This is one of my favorite newspaper front pages, and it wasn't the sports page, it was the front page. I remember waking up on January 19th, 2003, when the Bucks were getting ready to go to Philly for the NFC Championship, and the giant St. Petersburg Times front page, it had a big picture of the Bucks, and they were in their they were on the field at Veterans Stadium in their practice. They were like in sweatsuits. They had helmets, but they were like in sweats and helmets. And they were right on top of the Eagles logo. And it was just them running through some little practice walkthrough. There was a big picture and giant three-inch headline. It just said, "Are you ready?" And I remember waking up and seeing that newspaper. And if I could get a hold of that, I would put it up in my house, seriously. Because it evokes such powerful memories. And then, of course, the next week, this is the last year, if you remember, that there wasn't a bye week between the Super Bowl and the conference championship game. So they came home that Monday, turned right around, went to San Diego, and then same thing, Super Bowl morning. It was surreal in a way that even the 2020 Super Bowl was not, because there's no way you can ever, ever feel the same way you felt the first time. Like 2020 was unbelievable, and it was here in Tampa, and I got to see it in person, whereas I didn't get to do those things in 2002, but there will still never, ever be anything like 2002. It just won't happen again. It's impossible. And that wasn't just the first championship for the Bucks, that was the first championship for Tampa, first championship appearance for Tampa. And there's just simply nothing like seeing your team play in the Super Bowl for the first time. And so I think back to it being 20 years ago now, and I just, man, now that's half of my lifetime instead of almost my whole lifetime, like it would have been when I was in my 20s. And the years just keep ticking away. And I'm not depressed, I'm not saying I'm sad or anything. It's just that those are the two things I've noticed the most about being in my 40s, and people in their 50s and 60s can probably tell me other things that I don't have experience of yet that you will experience when you get to be that age. But for you guys that are younger out there listening, I almost feel a little bit bad for you, because even if the Bucks make the next 5 Super Bowls in a row, none of them will be the first one. Like, there will never be a 2002 again, and it was such an incredible day. And just that, it was weird because you'd think you'd be nervous, but I remember being so calm. I was so nervous for the Philadelphia game, and we were big underdogs there. And even the Raiders game, looking back, and it's incredible, but the Bucs were actually like a 3 or 4 point underdog in that game. But I remember, like, once we beat the Eagles, I was like, that they're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, they're not losing this. There's no way they're losing this. And I guess everybody kind of feels that way and says that. But even after that first quarter, if you remember, Brad Johnson was like 5 of like 13 or something like that for 50 yards and a pick. The offense couldn't get anything going. Raiders got the opening drive. They threw the pick to the Raiders, and the Raiders got a quick field goal to go up 3-0. I remember not even blinking. I was like, yeah, we're fine. It'll be all right. It was 20-3 by halftime. And then I remember especially coming out of the half, It was 27-3. It was 20-3. I remember, this is weird, and this is where I get back to Keenan McCardell. It was 20-3 at halftime. I mean, I was still kind of like, okay, you know, you still got the second half to go here. But the Bucks had the ball coming out of the second half, if I remember. And I said, if they score a touchdown here, dude, like you don't want to believe it's real until it's actually happening. But I'll never forget the pass over the middle. Bucks were like inside the 10-yard line. Brad Johnson hit Keenan McCardell like at the 5-yard line. And I remember distinctly I was sitting on the ground outside my Uncle Mike's house in the backyard watching on a little TV. And the reason why, if you all remember, early 2003, late 2002, was back when HDTV was just coming on the scene. Like, it was a big deal. Oh, this guy's got an HDTV at his house. My Uncle Mike had one. But I noticed that, because we had the TV set up outside, which was just like the rabbit ears. I noticed that the TV with the rabbit ears, things would happen on it. This is the first time I ever experienced this phenomenon, which is common to our daily lives now. Things would happen on it, and then 20, 30 seconds later, they'd happen on the inside TV. And I was like, wait a minute. HDTV has a delay? What is this? I couldn't understand it. And I figured out, yeah, like we'd be outside, something would happen, and we'd go, ah, you know. And then like 15, 20 seconds later, everybody inside would yell and scream. They were watching the same thing we had watched 15 to 20 seconds earlier. And I remember saying, well, that's that. That's a big, giant, 60-inch, beautiful, gorgeous HDTV in there. I'm going to stay out here with this 20-inch rabbit ears. And I watched the whole Super Bowl out back like that. And I would not trade it for anything. And we actually turned the sound down for a little bit and put Gene Deckerhoff on. Anyway, I remember it being 20-3. And I was sitting on the ground with my little cousin Gregory, who's now, you know, like he's in his mid-20s now, but he was a little toddler sitting in my lap. And Brad Johnson hit Keenan McCardell at like the 5-yard line, and McCardell braced for a hit. And there was nobody there, and he turned around, and he was like, oh, and he just trotted into the end zone. And that made it 27-3, and I turned to my dad, and I remember saying, like this, we're going to win the Super Bowl. It's 27. It's the one night of our entire, like, franchise existence that it the most important game they've ever played in the first Super Bowl, and literally everything is going absolutely perfectly. Like, how could you ever hope for that one game, the one game of all games, and this is the one game where literally everything is going how you would want it to go. It was crazy. Like, it was crazy. I still look back on it. They scored 48 points. They had 3 interceptions returned for a touchdown. Like, it's 20 years in the rearview mirror now. We all knew about it and know about it, and we've gotten used to it. But, like, I still can't believe that night happened. It's perfect. And that's why, honestly, like, when I think back to, like, somebody tweeted something the other day, like, what's your most painful sports memory? You know, what's a game that still hurts today? And some Bucks fans were like, oh, man, the Bert Emanuel catch, you know, 1999 NFC Championship, the horrible replay review and the overturn. I remember how badly that hurt at the time as the Bucks were trying to go to their first Super Bowl then. It would have been in Atlanta. And if they had done that and made that, I'm sure it would have been awesome too. But you know how something happens in life sometimes and it's horrible at the time or it sucks at the time and you think it's bad? And then years go by and you look back and you realize that you wouldn't change a single thing. That's how I feel about the Bert Emanuel play. It doesn't hurt at all. I wouldn't want anything to be different about how everything unfolded in 2002. I wouldn't change a single thing. I guess the only thing I would have done, I watched that with my dad's side of it. I couldn't be in two places at once. I would have liked to have watched it with my mom too, because she's such a big Bucks fan. But like, I wouldn't change anything about how 2002 unfolded. And I'm glad that was their first Super Bowl. I'm glad everything from the night they beat Philadelphia and we all went down to the stadium on Himes there and just everybody, the whole city felt like it was out there, to the next week, the parades. I wouldn't change anything. Not a thing. So I'm glad it all unfolded the way it did. Bert Emanuel doesn't hurt anymore. And we're probably pretty lucky as Bucks fans, for as bad as the franchise's entire history has been. Like, if you think that, like, they still, I believe, have the worst overall winning percentage of all four major sports, all teams, like 126, whatever it is, teams, they have the lowest winning percentage. And yet, it's not bad, right? Like, they're 2-0 in the Super Bowl. They got two Super Bowls. I can't think of any, like, major heartbreak. Like, imagine being a Falcons fan. They've never won the Super Bowl. They had a 28-3 lead, and they blew it. Imagine being a Bills fan. Just happened again this past weekend. Every year, it looks, oh, this Bills are finally going to do it, man. Four straight Super Bowls. and they lose them all, one of them in incredibly heartbreaking fashion. That happened here in Tampa. Now with Josh Allen, they've gotten back, and they're right there again. But they, every year, something happens. Tons of heartbreak. Browns, Lions, never been. Bengals, we'll see if they break through, but they've come close. Bucks don't have any of that. All of our team, honestly, like the Bucks and the Lightning, both have not had overall awesome winning percentages due to mainly their early years being so bad. But when they've been good, they've been good. They've won championships, and it feels great. And as a sports fan, like, I haven't wanted for much. So with the Bucks, like I said, I know I've gone on a big, you know, tangent there, going back to Keenan McCardell interviewing for the offensive coordinator job. But man, I remember that back shoulder fade. He caught two touchdowns in that Super Bowl, and I remember him dunking over the goalpost after the other one. And just beautiful, beautiful memories that I would not touch or change, even if I could. I wouldn't. All I could wish for, I wish I could take those 20 seconds from when Rondi Barber intercepted the ball in Philadelphia, and right at that instant, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then he's running down the field. I wish I could just take those 15 or 20 seconds and put them in a bottle so you could, like, use it like a tonic whenever you needed it. Because that was the good stuff right there, man. And going out to the stadium and driving down Himes Avenue, opening the sunroof and, like, sitting on the top of the sunroof while we're driving the car, high-fiving people as we're moving down Himes. Only got to do it twice. Beautiful both times. But anyway, 20 years ago this week, Bucks Super Bowl 37. And like I said, like my coach, Dom Sio, in high school used to always say, they can never take it away from you. Like, they can never take it away from you. That is a thing that will always be, and it was beautiful. So now here we are, 20 years later, 2 years removed from another Super Bowl, but looking for an offensive coordinator. And yes, Keenan McCardell is now the Vikings wide receiver coach. He interviewed for that job, the Bucks job, this week, and then two others as well. Clint Kubiak, the son of Gary Kubiak, he's the Denver passing game coordinator. Obviously, right now, nothing associated with the Broncos offense is something you'd want to get involved in. I'm not ripping Clint Kubiak. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know a ton about any of these guys personally, and Clint Kubiak may end up being an incredible offensive coordinator or head coach, you know, down the road. Right now, don't think he's the guy. And then Jim Bob Cooter, who is currently the Jags passing game coordinator, former Lions offensive coordinator for several years there when they had Matthew Stafford, and before that he coached with the Colts and was with Peyton Manning both there and in Denver. He interviewed. And by the way, a lot of you, if you follow football close, know who Jim Bob Cooter is, but if you're hearing his name for the first time and you're giggling right now, yes, there is a football coach named Jim Bob Cooter. No, he is not an old Southern gaze. In fact, Jim Bob Cooter, I think, is younger than me. I think he's like 38. And if you try to picture what someone named Jim Bob Cooter looks like, and then you look up a picture of the real Jim Bob Cooter, it's just a completely normal-looking guy. Like, just he is from Tennessee, where I guess that's, you know, where he gets the very southern-sounding name from. But he's a viable option. We'll see. And like I said, it doesn't mean it's going to be one of these three guys. Those are the three they've interviewed so far. It's a pretty tough market right now for offensive coordinators. There are 12 offensive coordinators either open or anticipated to be opening as, you know, things shuffle around with the coaching carousel and all that. So, I mean, that's over a third of the league looking for an offensive coordinator. And, you know, Bill O'Brien was talked about for the Bucks. Obviously, he has history with Brady. He is back with New England. The Patriots re-upped with him after they had tried defensive guys as the offensive coordinator for a while, and that didn't work out this season. So he's off the table. And again, we still don't know about Brady. Some people are convinced he's gone. I'm not a big let's read the tea leaves person. I've been through this too many times. And by this, I just mean trying to figure out how something's going to go before it happens, not specific with Brady. But even with Brady, I mean, we saw that last year. Yeah, you don't know. He probably doesn't know. And if he does know, maybe he does. You know, there's people that are close to him. And then you hear all these sources on Twitter and this and that. No, there was a video out there. Somebody took a cell phone video. Here's Brady touring a Miami private school. Is he going to the Dolphins? His kids already, like, they live in Miami. Like, wherever Brady goes or whatever he decides, like, we know his kids will be attending school in Miami, so there is nothing to read into that. But yeah, he's touring a school down there, and somebody whips out the cell phone camera, and it's on Twitter, and everyone's like, oh, Brady back to the Dolphins. They're going to go ahead and bag it with Tua. They're going for it. And that doesn't mean Brady's kids live in Miami, so that means nothing, okay? And people are still talking about how several Bucks players have said that when Brady said goodbye, it felt like goodbye. Hey, maybe so. Or maybe he just said goodbye. Listen, if I was leaving something where I didn't know if I was going to come back or not, I would say goodbye just in case it was the last time. I'd say goodbye and just say, hey, man, thanks for everything. If I don't see you again, you know, that type of thing. I don't know what he said to people, but my point is you can't even read into that either. I mean, you know, he may have felt that way at the time and not been sure. And just in case he doesn't come back, he wants to let everybody know how much he appreciates him. And maybe he still comes back, or maybe not. And maybe it's not even good if he does come back. Hell, I don't know. You know, like I just told you about things like the Bert Emanuel catch. There are things you look back on, and even though they were horrible at the time, you wouldn't change anything. You know, maybe the Bucks going into this next phase is going to be sucky for now, but maybe it is a thing that we wouldn't change after we get 10 years in the rearview mirror. Maybe it's the start of something else. Or maybe it's not. I have no idea. But like I said on last week's show, I do know that I would be trying, I guess, my best to maintain as much of the status quo as possible. We'll see. But the Bucks do have to confront the reality of their cap situation. And the phrase that's been going around is the bill is coming due for Super Bowl 55. And if it's so, and if it's high, that's fine. I don't, like I said, totally worth it. The whole point of this is to do what the Bucks just did in 2020, okay? So Greg Allman wrote a nice piece. He's at Fox Sports now, formerly of The Athletic, but he kind of broke down a little bit. If you go to his Twitter feed and you can click on the article, it's a good piece to read. And he just broke down exactly what the Bucks are facing. They are $55 million over the cap right now as we go into this offseason. And that sounds like, oh my God, like what? They're $55 million over. Right? What are they going to do? There's things that it's, you know, like we've talked about, there's very confusing, all these rules and little tricks you can do. But basically, they're 55 over the cap, 55 million. And on top of that, they have 24 unrestricted free agents. So even to re-sign a few of those puts you even more over the cap, plus draft picks and all that. How do you pay for it all? Well, of the 24 unrestricted free agents, first of all, 10 of them aren't starters. Or like I think 8 of them started either one game or no games. So it's not like literally the whole team or anything. Out of those unrestricted free agents, they have 33 offensive starts from this past year that are currently not under contract. 7 of those are from Brady and, 23. 7 of those are from Brady, 16 others. Or no, excuse me, my mistake. It is 33. 17 are from Brady and 16 of those are from other players. So forget about Brady for a second. They're only losing 16 offensive starts from free agents, even if they didn't re-sign any of them. And some of them they don't want to re-sign. And then from the defensive side, they do have some UFAs over there that did see a lot of time in 2022, and they have 102 defensive starts there. That's 54% of all of their starts on defense are now unrestricted free agents. So, you know, obviously the Brady thing matters. We talked about last week in detail how the scenarios work as far as the salary cap hit. If he retires, it's a hit, but they can split it amongst this year and next year. It's not too bad. If he plays for the Bucks, of course he plays for the Bucks. Then they figure out a new deal. If he stays in football but not with the Bucks, that's the worst-case scenario because then all of his $34 million or whatever it is counts this year, and the Bucks can't move it around and split it among other years, and that puts him behind the eight ball a little bit. But looking at what the Bucks can do, there's going to be people that are just outright gone, and you look at like candidates for that, like Donovan Smith, for example. You know, if it was me, and Donovan Smith didn't have a great year, but overall his service to the Buccaneers has been a great service, okay? So I'm not here to dump on Donovan Smith. But that's, to me, not an easy move emotionally or psychologically, but mathematically that's an easy move. You don't bring him back. You can either move Tristan Wirfs to left tackle, there's been some talk about that, or leave well enough alone. He's a Hall of Famer. The way he's been going at right tackle, leave him there and get a new left tackle. I'm inclined to just mess around a little bit and see, can he play left tackle? Just because it's easier to find another right tackle. Although, you know what? Honestly, in the NFL these days, it used to be like the left tackle was the marquee spot. It's not as big of a difference with left and right tackle now. Like, you don't need to move a guy, and if he can do it, great. If it's not that big of a difference. But if it's unnatural and it takes him out of something he's doing well, leave him at right tackle. Either way, you need another tackle. So you can draft one, and from there, you're pretty short up on the offensive line with Wirfs, Shaq Mason, Ryan Jensen back, and a competent left guard, whether that's Nick Leverett, whether that's Aaron Stinney or somebody else. So you Donovan Smith, you let him go. That'll take off some of the cap. Leonard Fournette, same thing. I think, again, great service. I'll never forget his run in the Super Bowl. That, yeah, I just talked about how Keenan McCardell's touchdown in the Bucs' first Super Bowl was like the, hey, we're going to win moment. His touchdown in the third quarter against the Chiefs was the, hey, this is really happening. Like, you know, especially that Chiefs team. Even though the Bucs were up, you know, whatever it was, you know, it was 21-9, I think, or something like that. And it was feeling pretty good, but you're still kind of nervous. And then Fournette broke that run in the third quarter. And I was like, I remember turning to my buddy Drew this time because I was at the Super Bowl with him. And I was like, dude, I didn't want to say it. I was like, I think we're going to win this game. I'd officially much rather be us than the Chiefs right now, like once that Fournette touchdown happened. And that's just one play, but he had a lot of contributions. But I think you could probably say goodbye to him. Cameron Brate, another guy with a big cap number who the Bucs have a replacement for now, and Cade Otton. And same thing with Ryan Succop. And Ryan Succop, you know, I know he didn't do well beyond 50 yards, was rock solid inside 50. I'm not saying he was terrible, but again, for that cap number, there are other people you can get and get similar production out of, hopefully, for much cheaper. So there's four names right there that reduce the number, and there are others. And this is all what the Bucs have to confront. So you got to kind of walk the line if you're the Bucs and figure out, like, can we do all these cap machinations that we're going to have to do, all these different ways we'd have to, you know, contort ourselves to make this work and still be a good team, still be a team worthy of even wanting Tom Brady back, if Tom Brady even wanted to come back. They might not be. You know, that's the hard part right now. The weapons are there. I mean, I think Cade Otton's ready to step up into a larger role as the tight end if Rob Gronkowski didn't come back. This is all assuming Brady came back, which he, again, may never even be considering. But still Godwin, still Evans, Russell Gage. You can get a running back. The offensive line should be back, good to go. And you've got some, I mean, the offense could be better. Again, whoever the coordinator is. And then, you know, you still have to make some tough choices to worry about the cap. But there's a way the Bucs could figure this all out if Tom Brady wanted to stay and still make it work. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe they just go into, people say tank mode. I don't think it's tank mode. Because you don't have to do that. That's the thing. You don't have to do that. The NFC South isn't going to be as bad as it's been. You know, I expect it to get better. People, you know, should get better. But it ain't exactly murderer's row. Like, you can be a team who's kind of not all the way where you need to be. And maybe you are in a little bit of a, not yet called a rebuild, but a transition phase. And still compete in this division. And maybe it is the same as this year where you're 8-9, 9-8, you win it. You know, maybe 10-7. But, people think, oh, just blow it up. You know, we need to go 3-14 and tank for Drake May or Caleb Williams or whoever. And it doesn't have to be that. And maybe you want it to be that way, but it doesn't have to be that way is my point. You can kind of serve both masters of, yeah, we're not what we used to be. We're kind of transitioning. And maybe we're not as good as we want to be, but we're also still good enough where we're not like mailing in a season here and it's just a complete disaster. It doesn't have to be that way necessarily. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. If you want to email me on Twitter, you can follow me at BobbyGameDay. Oh, there's one more offensive coordinator name here that I didn't mention before because it's just being tweeted about now from Stroud. Again, I'm recording this on Friday midday, but he retweets something from Mike Garofalo, and it says, Giants QB coach Shea Tierney will interview with the Buccaneers for their vacant OC position, sources say. Tierney has worked closely with head coach Brian Daboll with Alabama, the Bills, and the Giants, and the development of Daniel Jones this past season has been noticed around the league. And I don't put Daniel Jones in that upper tier of quarterbacks, but he's definitely gotten better. So we'll see if this is anything that appeals to the Bucs and what quarterback would he be developing. That part also is to be determined, obviously. But another name to throw out there before I get to anything else. Frank Reich, didn't mention him yet. He's the head coach of the Carolina Panthers now. I said this before. This is a good hire for Carolina. I get with Wilkes, it kind of sucks because Steve Wilkes did a good job. You know, you hate to see an interim coach go in there and do a good job and still not get the gig. Although I think his time could still be coming. You know, I get the disappointment there. But Frank Reich is a good hire. Let me tell you something, okay? I was hoping, and the league's smart enough to not let this happen, as you can see. I was hoping we could maybe have another year on Frank Reich and maybe we could get involved there if things go south and we end up moving on from Bowles. But like I said, the league knows better. And this is a good hire by the Panthers, I think. Frank Reich, okay? The Colts didn't have much going on. First of all, he had three winning seasons there. But second of all, even this year, there was not a lot there. You know, they gutted the roster. They ended up moving to a rookie quarterback. I'm not sure that Reich was the one who wanted to do that or not. Or, you know, you had Jim Irsay getting involved with a lot of things there. And if the Colts had really just stood pat, kept Matt Ryan in there, kept Frank Reich as the head coach, there's a very good chance, I'm not going to say it's definite, but there's a very good chance they go on to win the AFC South. They were in decent shape, and it all just went to hell when they decided to just completely, you know, just gut everything there a few games into the season. And then the Colts fell apart, and Jacksonville ended up, and Jacksonville may still have won, I'm not saying for sure, but I think the Colts could definitely have won that division if they had just stayed the course this season. But either way, Frank Reich can coach. And if you want to ask yourself about a coach, when you have a coach, should we fire our coach or not? Not that this is the only reason, but any coach, not just ones you want to fire, any coach, think to yourself, hypothetically, if we fired this guy tomorrow, would any other teams want to scoop back up and hire him for the same, not just hire him for a lesser position, but would anybody else hire him for their same position as soon as we let him go? All right? And Frank Reich is definitely one of those. And that's what you ask yourself about Todd Bowles, right? If the Bucs fired Todd Bowles, would he get another head coaching job immediately? Would people jump all over the chance to, oh yeah, Todd Bowles? I don't think so, right? No, I doubt that he would get another head coaching job. And Frank Reich is one, I really liked him. I think it's a good hire for Carolina. So it's something to keep an eye on. As far as the whole Sean Payton thing goes, there's reports that there was a little bit of a problem in the interview in Denver, and not even like a problem, like something didn't go well, but this is just reports saying this, not me. Apparently, Payton is a little concerned that there might be, it was one member of the ownership group, Payton was a little concerned there might be some meddling issues there. Felt like maybe there was one guy there who's going to want to have his eyes and hands everywhere and on everything. So whether that comes to pass or not, you know, the further the process goes and Sean Payton hasn't taken a job somewhere, you know, he's not guaranteed to coach again this year. I'm sure he wants to, and he's dipping his toe in the water here, but we'll continue to see how that process goes. In the meantime, Rick Stroud, the Bucs beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times, also did say and was talking about how Bruce Arians is not happy about the firings of most of the offensive staff and a couple of defensive staff too. Doesn't think he'll be around as much next year. Feels like there's some distance now between Arians and the organization. Doesn't feel as close as he did. And hey, listen, I get it. I mean, Bruce Arians thought when he stepped down that he was trying to leave everything in place for the next guy and everything was going to go great. And it didn't go great. And he wanted to set everything up for success. That was the idea, I think, that he had when he decided to step down. And it didn't happen. Or at least, I mean, he executed it the way he wanted to, but the results didn't happen. And so now we're sitting here, half the staff gets wiped out, and it's a whole new deal. You know, hey, it's his life. I get it. He wanted to step down. The best outcome would have probably been for him to stay for the Bucs, but at his age, and, you know, he'd done it enough, he was ready to move on to something else. But you can't pull all the strings and have it go exactly how you want it to go even after you're gone. It just doesn't work that way, and it hasn't worked that way for the Bucs. So we'll see what ends up coming of this new offensive coordinator interview, who'd be the fourth one that they've interviewed, and whether or not that ends up being the guy, or there are other names out there. Again, there are a lot of teams that need a guy, and this whole process is ongoing. We'll see. So we will wrap it up for now. Next week we'll be back. We'll have a Super Bowl matchup. It's the bye week next week, and then the Super Bowl the week after that. But this is the last Sunday of the year with multiple football games. They'll be back-to-back again, 49ers at Eagles at 3, and then the Bengals at the Chiefs at 6:30. And it's the culmination. I mean, the whole season, this is what everybody looks forward to, right? I mean, we get to the playoffs, see who the teams are going to be, who are going to be the Super Bowl teams. So you hate for it to feel anticlimactic. Obviously, if you go way back to the beginning of the year, we thought there might be a chance the Bucs would be playing this weekend. It didn't happen, but it's still a special weekend, and it's the final weekend with multiple football games of the 2022 season, even though we're already in 2023. And I know I always think too far ahead. I just need to enjoy it while it's here. But I'm already in the back of my mind thinking, oh, man, three football games left, just the three. But it's okay, and it should be a great weekend of games, and we'll know the matchup for the Super Bowl after that. In the meantime, if you're thinking about a vehicle, by the way, and it could be a car, truck, or van, it can be brand new or pre-owned, very, very strongly suggest you at least take a look at the website, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, it's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E. Go to BillCurryFord.com, and you can see on the site, without even having to get up, everything there, the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing is there. You can see all the inventory. Again, cars, trucks, vans, brand new, pre-owned, whatever you want to take a look at. If you want to go see it in person, beautiful showroom, beautiful lot, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, just north of Hillsborough Avenue, where it's always been. Go see my good friend, the GM, Sean Sullivan, and everybody else over there who will take care of you. Whatever you decide to do, whatever vehicle you end up getting, it's all subject to the nationwide, unlimited lifetime warranty. You never have to worry about engine trouble. The powertrain warranty covers it. As long as you own the car that you bought at Bill Curry Ford, it could be years from now, you're good to go. That's huge, as well as the first year free oil changes and service, 10 years of roadside assistance. It all comes with the vehicle, and you're all set. And if you want to stay home, you can select a car that you want them to bring you to test drive. Not even buy, just test drive at your home or office or wherever. And if you make the purchase, of course, they'll bring it back to you. That's the website. Again, BillCurryFord.com. So thanks to them. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, that you're going to get for Bucks coverage. I appreciate the opportunity every single time. I can't thank the Joes enough. JoeBucksFan.com, like I said, it's going to be active even more so in the offseason than it is during the season, with so much going on in the offseason, especially this offseason in the long history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Thanks to them, and thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great, safe weekend. Oh, I didn't even... Gasparilla weekend, for those of you that celebrate. Be safe out there. Have fun. I'll be out and about on Bayshore somewhere. I was on a float last week for the children's parade. This week, I'll just be out there with the family on the bikes, taking it in, the invasion, the parade, all that great stuff. A beautiful Tampa tradition, and one of my favorite weekends every year, and that should be great. So if you're doing that, man, have a good time, be safe, and make good decisions and everything else. I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the conference championship games. Enjoy the weekend. Stay safe. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.